You know, God gave me a little sight of the outside of Nancy's church, looking out across, and you see it's beautiful water down through there, and then there's snow-covered mountains in the background. That's a beautiful sight from your front door on your church that God has put you in. And they get to see that year-round. That's a beautiful sight. I encourage you, ever get a chance to go up there and visit, you know, go visit. She may not be there, but Henry's there. You know? I was trying to think, because I wanted us to sing a song, and Cheryl said, and you know, I didn't ask Cheryl, and Cheryl said, God wants you to sing There's Power in the Blood. Y'all know that song? And we're just going to do the chorus, okay? And we're going to put two extra powers in there, okay? Can we do that? There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. One more time. There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Do you believe that? Amen. There is power, dynamite power, dunamis power in the blood of the Lamb. I'm doing something different. I've only taught one time when I've been speaking. And I've been doing that for years. In West Virginia, I taught. Well, I normally don't have this when I get in the pulpit. But God started speaking to me 2 weeks ago. And there are some things that were heavy on his heart. And I started writing. And I wrote. And I wrote, because normally the way I prepare is this. I'll spend time where God leads me in different scriptures during the week. And then God will just pour out, give me so much information. And then I know that at the end of the week, I'll get in the pulpit and God is going to condense those things down into what he wants the people to hear for that hour. That's my style. That's what I'm comfortable doing. But how many know that God will take you out of your comfortable zone, your comfort zone, and he'll put you in places where you're not going to be comfortable? I'm not comfortable slowing down and reading. I'd rather quote scripture. But he said this time, he said, I want you to do it different. And I've done learned to be obedient to the Lord the best I can, because I don't want to get to the point where I'm not obedient and then I'm asking him questions. God, you've not given me any directions lately. What's going on? And you know what he says? Go back to the last directions I gave you. Amen. And be obedient to them. You know, God, I hadn't heard you lately. Well, go back and remember the last thing I told you and be obedient in that. You know, obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, and I really feel the freedom to worship, the freedom to speak here in this place. God's looking at us. Nancy's already saw him looking over and looking down here. What's going on here? You know, and I think God does that a lot of times. See, the Bible doesn't say, and here I am already, I'm getting away from here, but I'm going to get back to it. But the Bible doesn't say that God is continually watching the wicked. The Bible says God's eyes are continually on the righteous, because it matters to him what we're doing. He put us here to set an example for the world to see. Because, see, we are aliens in this world. We're from another world. Amen. You know, we're ambassadors. We are, in fact, we as Christians are God's spokesman. And we tell what God has to say about the situations. The world would be in a whole lot better shape if the men in the pulpits wouldn't be scared to say what God says about things that are going on in this world. Amen. It's time that the men in the pulpit stood up and boldly proclaim with power what God is doing in this hour. Because you better believe, those that don't know Jesus, God's not telling them nothing. He's telling his children all the time. And that makes life easy for us if we will but listen to him and be obedient to him. When he started telling me this, I almost messed up. He told me the same thing over and over and over. And I said it came down to when I wanted to go to sleep. And he'd been telling me for 2 days. Sharon, I had to be careful. But I told God, I said, God, you reckon I can go to sleep tonight? I've got it. I've got it. He said, Tom, this is heavy on my heart, and that's why I'm emphasizing it and telling it to you over and over and over again. So this is what he told me. I'm not going to sing another song because I may go hoarse. I don't like to go hoarse. I love to sing. I love to sing out loud. I love to sing parts, but I love to preach too. Exodus 20:15 is where it says, thou shalt not steal, or you shall not steal. John 10:10, see, the word steal means to thief. Okay? John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not, but to kill, steal, and destroy. Okay? Steal. The father of all lies, our adversary. Bible says, neither give way to the devil. He's a thief. He steals. In fact, if we let him, he will steal everything we've got and have us naked with nothing. But we've got rights in Jesus Christ. We're God's children. We are his ambassadors. He wants us to do exploits in his name, and he gives us the Holy Spirit to empower us so we can do the will of God on this earth. People that are not sold out to the Lord, they think we're crazy. We look crazy. We talk crazy, we're a peculiar people, and we act crazy. See, God allows the foolishness of the word to confound the wise. And the people who really think they're wise, they're missing the key ingredient to wisdom. Nancy said this morning, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding all goes together, it's a package deal. And those who don't have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from above, they don't understand. They don't have wisdom. I don't care, it could be a school teacher, it could be a principal, it could be a college professor. But if they don't have the wisdom of God, and they won't have the wisdom of God without having a relationship with God, and they won't have a relationship with God if they don't know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of their lives. It's impossible. I got an article here about a woman skipping her mom's funeral. And this says this, Alice Davenport, 30, was held on a $15,000 bail after pleading not guilty Monday to 7 charges relating to theft. Dyrone Conyers, 27, is accused of being her accomplice and was held without bail on a warrant. Police say Davenport and Conyers went to her mother's home on Friday during her funeral and stole from her dead mother. They broke the door frame to a locked bedroom to access and remove the safe. Wow. Stealing from your dead mom. I've got something here that means a lot to me. Mother Teresa said this, and I want to share it with you. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And this kind of sets the stage for this, thou shalt not steal. People are often unreasonable and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you're kind, people may accuse you of ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you're honest, people may cheat you. Be honest anyway. If you find happiness, people may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today may be forgotten tomorrow. Do good. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give your best anyway. For you see, in the end, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. Every one of us in here, there is a relationship between us and God that does not involve anybody else. And one day we're going to be held accountable if we listen to Him, if we are obedient to Him, if we do the things that was written in this article. My superintendent, Mr. LeBrun, gave me this during a difficult time at the latter portion of my career with them. And he saw, I made the statement to him, I said, you know, I do good, but I don't get anything in return for it. And I was talking about there on that job where I sacrificed, did people the way they should be handled and cared for and all like that. And he gave me this. And this thing cut me to the core. You know, I found out, pastoring a church, that you can't make everybody happy. You're going to have somebody that's going to be upset with you. And the thing about it, as a pastor, you don't cause a problem, but here you are, you get caught in between two people that's having problems with each other. And here you are pulled right in the middle of it. Where you got to use your counselor skills from the Lord. You know, they said in Isaiah, I think it was, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end to. You know, we got to be counselors. We got to be able to step in when people are mad. When you got people in your church that they sit on this side and that side and you don't ever see them talking to each other, you know there's a battle going on. We've got a small church. We may be having about 25 people go there, but you know, I found out what makes up our church. I told somebody I was sick last Sunday morning. And my pastor, new pastor, she preached because I was sick. But if I had preached, I might, if the Lord, Jerry, had given me the freedom, I might have went down some roads that would describe Jones Chapel. The Lord has told me this, and he's been very specific this year. The Lord told me this. He said, I'm not going to tolerate in Jones Chapel what I have tolerated in the past. It's 2018, and no more will I tolerate it. Amen. Guess what? Told my wife about it, and then she said, I heard this other prophet say that, and I done got word that this one said it and that one said it. You know, I knew that God, Mark, told me that for Jones Chapel, you know. But then here he is telling other churches that too. God gets tired of tolerating things and allowing us to do things, because here's what he's hoping the whole time. While he's tolerating it, he's hoping that we have enough God-given sense to mature enough to get to where we don't make the same mistake over and over again. I used to think, God, you keep bringing this same person across my path all the time. You ever have somebody you just don't like to meet on the street? You don't like to see them around because they rub you the wrong way? But here's what you find out. The more you try to avoid them, here comes God sending them across your path again. And finally, you're going to get it. God's going to send them until that rub is taken care of, until we give it to him, until we love them with his love, not our love. He's got to give us love for them. And God, he is just like a record. And you got a record. We used to have these 78 RPM records, big ones. And I'd get a little scratch on that rotten thing. And every time it go through, it go in the same place. I feel like that a lot of times with lessons God's trying to teach me. It's got that little scratch, and it's going to keep that little scratch, and I'm going to keep going around that mountain to that scratch all the time until I learn what God's trying to teach me. God's looking for teachable spirits. God's looking for us to be fast learners, and he's the best teacher we can have for anything. You don't have to turn here, but in the book of Malachi, that's where God sent me. Stealing. God said, go to Malachi. Okay, God, I go to Malachi. It says, Malachi 3:10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. Verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. I said, God, what are you trying to tell me? Are you trying to tell me that a big example of stealing is stealing from you? And he said, yes. Yes. And I said, well, has it all got to do about money? He said, no. See, we've each been placed in a storehouse. We're not placed there by our desire or by someone else's desire. God has placed us at ground zero in a storehouse. Your storehouse is the church in which God has placed you in. And see, you're not to steal from that church by not giving to that church. I know sometimes you think, well, my goodness, I hope we go broke in this church because they're spending money the way, not in a way that I would like to see them spend it. But here's the thing about it. When you give, you let go. They got a thing in that where you can sell stuff now, and it says let go. God wants you, if he's called you to a place, and he's calling you to be faithful to that place, if he's called you there, And he's not calling you to be faithful to the pastor or to the other members that are there. If we are unfaithful, we're being unfaithful to God Almighty himself if he has put us there. And I said, well, God, that's got something to do with money. He said, yeah, but more, it's got to do with time. He said, people are stealing time from me that I desire for them to be in my presence because I created human beings to spend time with me. I was lonely and I needed fellowship. I need their fellowship, but they're stealing that time from me. He said, it's nothing wrong watching the NFL football game if you put him first in your life. If you get more excited about him than you get excited about a ball game. Nothing wrong, ladies, about going shopping and finding you something good to wear or something glittery or something like that. But when you get more excited about the shopping than you do God Almighty, it's a problem. Because God's jealous. He said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And we, here's what we do. If you've got anything or if I've got anything that we hold more important than God himself, we've got idols. Yes, we do. We went to India back in the 90s. Every geographical location has a god on a totem pole. And that's who their god is there. That's who they worship there. I think they've got over 3 million gods. Okay? And in India at that time, it was 4% Christian. I got over there. We got in on the plane, landed. And the next thing I knew, before I could get 4 or 5 hours sleep, Bala Singh had me in his church. He's got a church of about 250. Preaching. Now over there what you do, they speak Tamil. And you go over there and you learn, and here I was, no experience in that. I preach and I shut up and he interprets. Preach a little bit more, he interprets. Preach a little bit more, he interprets. Ended up on housetops and all like that, preaching the word of God. Motions. Yeah, yes. It's really a sight to see. And the thing about it is this, my wife came to me. He said, Brother Tom, God has called you to preach. Well, here I was. I was a comptroller. That was my livelihood. Got okay from God to go into that. Got a college education into that and was doing that. God has called you to preach. My wife looked at me. She said, I didn't marry no preacher. This wasn't part of the deal. So, Father's Day of last year, God spoke to me. And he told me, he said, I want your wife to be ordained. I said, well, who do you want to do it? He said, Nancy Haney. I said, God, you don't want me doing it? He said, no. I want Nancy to do it. He even told me the time and all like that to have the service. So I went to her and I said, listen, God has specifically spoke to me and told me that he wants you to be ordained. She said, well, he's been speaking to me for a while, and I just told him, when you speak to my husband about it, I'll do it. And I asked her, I said, well, who do you want to ordain you? She said, Nancy Haney. Pretty easy answer. That God done told me. It wasn't no surprise for me. I didn't get my feelings hurt. But after I told her that and she got ordained, I said, you know what? I didn't marry no pastor or no preacher. Payback time, you know? Payback time, because she meant that when she told me that in India on that rooftop. She meant it. She meant every word of it, you know? And so, got her back. That's what it was. But God began working in her and speaking to her and growing her up. There was a time when she would kick and fuss and resist any idea I had when it had to do with God. She would do that. And I thought, wow, I have got a wild one here. You know? I went over to Carolina and I married her. And I was 20, I just turned 21, she just turned 19. But I knew one thing about it. When I went over there and had that first date, I thought, I'm not going to be able to be away from her. I can't stand to be away from her. And she would tell me, she said, I live for the time that you come over here to see me. I live for that time. You know, within 2 weeks, we're going steady. And within 3 months, we were married. Because I had fall semester coming up to be in college, you know, and had to get a college education and working there for 50 hours a week and going to school full time. But I tell you what, it makes you appreciate it when you have to work for it like that. You know, I found out, people ask me, why don't you spin off in that car out there? And I said, I don't spin off in that car because I'm paying for those tires on that car, and my mom and dad are not helping me pay for them tires on that car. There was other people in school that I looked at, and their mom and dad was paying for their education, and they were paying for the cars and for the tires, and they were spinning off everywhere burning rubber. But I didn't have the money to keep paying for tires. You know, I told my dad, I said, Dad, I'm going to get married. I was out on the porch. Now, my dad was a firm person who had things under control. He had me under control. He had Mama under control. He had my sister under control. But when I told him, I'm fixing to get married, he knew something was going on because I wasn't around the house much anymore. I was out there somewhere doing something and being with somebody. And he told me something, and it gave me incentive to finish my college education. He looked me square in the eye. My dad did not finish high school. They had 11 grades back then. I think he went 10 grades, and then next thing you know, and Mama got her education, and next thing you know, on his records there, it says, dropped out, got married. You know, so I could see those things, those wheels turning in his head. He said, you'll never get your college education now. Well, you better believe I put that on my forehead and on my insides. I memorized it. And when things got tough, working 50 hours a week and going to school too and trying to get through, I would get discouraged, and then those words came to me, you'll never get your college education. It gave me incentive. I was going to show my dad that what he said was not going to come true. God even blessed me to the point, and I enjoyed doing it. I enjoyed the college putting in the paper, Tom Smalley, Dean's List. I enjoyed it. I said, I'll show my dad. I'll show him. Because when somebody says, you won't do this now because of what you've done, I knew this. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God had created her just for me. And you know, that's helped. When times have gotten difficult, it helped. When the starry eyes and all like that of marriage starts wearing off some, and then life happens, and you're digging to get by, and you're digging to keep your head above water. I said, I know, because I'm not going to question God about anything that he gives me. You've got things in your life, and you may question why God has put them in your life. But what you need to do, you need to thank God for what he has put, who he's put in your life, and what he's put in your life. And you need to have a grateful attitude. You need to in all things give thanks, for this is the will of the Lord Christ Jesus concerning thee. You need to do it. And when you start being grateful for what God has given you, God's going to open up even more for you. But we've got to have an attitude of gratitude. Amen. We've got to break the cycle of... I didn't mean to spit on you.
No, you're fine.
We got to break the cycle of the enemy in our lives, because he's come, like we said a while ago, to kill, to steal, to destroy. If he had his way and we didn't have the Lord to intervene for us, he would strip us naked and he would beat us down to where disease would kill us and kill us early. But we've got an advocate in the Lord. We've got someone on our side that we can use their name. You know, my name doesn't mean a whole lot, but the name of Jesus Christ, at the name of Jesus, one day every knee's going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. And that's my Lord. That's your Lord. That's our Redeemer. That's our Baptizer. That's our Healer when we thought we'd never get healed. You know, that's our salvation, and that's for eternity. Because I tell you what, once the new man comes in and the old man dies, you're a new creature in Jesus Christ. But what is so sad is this, and this is what breaks God's heart. There are people. The best example I could use, and God gave me this example. Saul to Paul. That's what the conversion experience is. Here's Saul out there tending to the coat of Stephen while he's being stoned. There's Paul who's got a Saul that's got a reputation of being a Christian killer. Who was it? Ananias? Who did God send him to pray? Yes, Cornelius. And Cornelius was scared of Saul, now turned Paul. But God has said, you go and pray for him. But he was fearful because Saul had a reputation. Everybody has got to have that type conversion experience for it to be real, and the old man to be put off, and the new man to come. That's why it says that when you're saved, you can't sin. Remember reading that? And you think, wait a minute, now I've sinned since I've been saved. But the sin nature, the habitual sinning that goes forth in a lost person, it's broken when the old man is taken off and the new man is there. But here's what we've got. We've got some easy believism, so-called Christians, who never really had a conversion experience to start with. They're breaking the Ten Commandments every day. I know people who are breaking them every day in my church. And God, he made it very clear to me that it breaks his heart to see them so deceived. Because, you know, the word says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And see, Satan wants to say this. He wants to come in there and say, listen, those Ten Commandments, don't worry about them. That's Old Testament, and Jesus has got your back covered. But let me tell you something. I spoke up here night before last, and I said, that's a way that Jesus does not have your back covered, and it's not covered, and he can't cover it if you didn't have a true, genuine conversion. We've got people calling themselves Christians that have no idea what a Christian is. They're still living in the world. They still have the glory of the world. They're breaking the Ten Commandments every day. I talked to one couple. I'm not going to try to get close to names or anything like that, but I talked to one couple. And they both confessed to be Christians. I got them in my house. And I said, listen, You left your husband for him. He left his wife for you. You're living together. I asked him, are you sleeping together? Yes, we're sleeping together. But we're both Christians. I said, don't you know you're sinning? We're Christians. Christians don't willfully break the Ten Commandments. Jesus didn't come to destroy the Ten Commandments or the law. Jesus came to fulfill it. Jesus came that so when we receive him and the old man is gone and the new man is there, then he meets all the requirements for us because we're walking in forgiveness. We're walking in a relationship. We're walking filled with the Spirit of God. And there's no way we can continually, habitually sin as a lifestyle. It's no way. Because what you're doing, you're going back and dipping into the old man. Jesus said, all things have passed away because, behold, all things have become new. Amen. That's why, according to Romans 8:1, powerful verse. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Question today is, what are you doing? Are you walking after the flesh, or are you walking after the Spirit? God desires that we all, and chances are very good, this room full of people are walking after the Spirit. Because look here, you're here wanting more, you're here seeking, you're here going after, passionately going after God, you're loving the presence of the Lord. Those are the attributes to let you know, hey, I'm on the right track. I got the relationship. I've got God as my Father, Jesus as my brother. I'm in line. I've got my priorities straight. Priorities that are straight. I should love the Lord thy God with all the heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And they're going to cover. That's going to be covered before this weekend's over. But priorities that are straight. Seek ye first kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things shall be added unto you. It's that simple. Yeah. It's not a difficult gospel. Satan comes in and deceives and makes the gospel look difficult. But it's simple. God has made it simple. Believe, receive, walk in my power. Simple gospel. And I'm just a type person. I want to experience everything that they experienced in the Bible and greater things because Jesus has gone to his Father in heaven. That's just me. I don't want nothing any less. God won't let me be satisfied with any less. And I think when we get to the point when we start letting Satan deceive us and lie to us and steal from us, we're stealing from God when we don't walk in all that he wants us to walk in. So it's money that we can steal from him. It's time that we can steal from him. And then there's power and authority that we can walk in that we steal from him that he's got for us. You know, it's easy to look at somebody else and you see God really working in them. You see people getting healed, filled with the Spirit, slain in the Spirit, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's fun to see, isn't it? Doesn't it make you excited? Doesn't it make you excited to feel the presence of Almighty God? That's what God desires for every Christian because God is not a respecter of persons. Amen. You know, he loves us all the same. He loves us so much that if I was the only human being on earth, Jesus still would have died. If you were the only human being on earth, Jesus still would have died. He loves you so much. He loves me so much. But we're stealing from what God had for us. We're allowing Satan to steal it when we allow Satan to lie to us about who we are. Let me tell you something. When you get your identity in Christ fixed the way God sees you, Now, here's what a lot of us do. Now, this is like a ship, doesn't it? Come down through there, it looks like a ship. Mark's got it looking like a ship. Play that. This is a mirror. And you look in that mirror. Now, I want you to answer me. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? Honestly. I'm talking about honestly. You're looking for flaws that you can take care of. You're looking to have your hair. You may have a hair out of place. Or you may be bald and going even balding. You're going to look at what's wrong. But you know what? When God looks at you, he looks at potential. He sees what he has created you to be. And even if you're not walking in the fullness of the power that he's created you to be, he sees your potential and he knows that time isn't up for you yet. And he's going to try to bring people across your path that's walking in the fullness of the Lord so that you can desire it and you can want it too. Too many times we listen to the Satan lie to us and steal from us. Too often. We need to listen to the Lord, what he's saying. You're more than a conqueror through me who died for you. More than a conqueror. Not just a conqueror, more than a conqueror. And he's saying the steps of a righteous man are so ordered by the Lord. You don't have to worry about what steps to take. On Sunday mornings, I don't have to worry about what to preach. Because God starts pouring it in me. I'm studying to show myself approved. Workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God all week long. And then when it comes Sunday, he puts the sermon together. He's undone it again now. I thought I was going to be going through this notebook. But you know what he does? When I spend time preparing, he puts it on my heart. And when he puts it on your heart, you can put some passion in it when you preach it because it's a part of you. You know, Jesus has got his name written in us. You know, I found that out a year ago when Mark spoke. Our name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it's also written down in here, Jesus Christ, right in here. This is my possession. This is my ownership, Jesus says. Isn't it great to be owned by him? Yes. And the way that you can tell that we are truly Christians is the way we live our lives. Christ-like. The Gospels are a wonderful example and a wonderful thing to look at to see how Jesus lived his life here on this earth because he is our teacher. He's our rabbi. He's the one who set the example for us, and we're to do what he did and greater. You know, I have some people, I got one person in the church say, well, you don't need to look, you need to look at the letters to the different churches and not at the Gospels. Bull. We're to pattern our lives after Jesus. How are you going to pattern your life after Jesus if you don't know the Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And see the way Jesus did things. Because that's the way we're to do them now. That's us. That's who we are. The Bible is our blueprint for our lives. They're already praying for people back yonder. Give me a second just to look in here, just to peek for just a second. But I believe, because see, here's the thing about it. It's a couple of other things here. When Saul was saved, he stopped doing the things he was doing. When he saw the light, his life was turned around. I believe Saul thought that he was doing the right thing and the godly thing by killing Christians. And he went about it and he thought, I'm doing the good works. But it took Jesus himself to shine that light down and blind him and to show him the true light. Anybody who's a true Christian, they've got to see the light. They've got to move out of darkness. They've got to begin having the mind of Christ. How do we get the mind of Christ? We look at the Word of God. We look at the Word of God, which is Jesus in word, in book. Jesus is the living, talking, walking Word. And we're going to want to live that life. Amen. The Holy Spirit, you know, somebody told me one time, they said, well, my goodness, somebody came up to me. This is another pastor in the county. Somebody came up to me and said, you need to be talking to this one about stop him doing this and that and the other and this one. And he said this. He said, listen, I'm not the one shining that spotlight on them. They're saved. The Holy Spirit's going to reveal what they need to get out of their lives. And they're going to go through a process of sanctification. Because we don't get there and get all cleaned up in one little swoop. You know? And the Holy Spirit comes in there and reveals what is not making God happy and Jesus happy. He doesn't leave any doubt. I've got a little thing. It used to be this. Early on, it used to be big things that were revealed to me. Now, I've got those things out of there, and it's the little things that you wouldn't think would make any difference. God's only got the big stuff out, and now the Holy Spirit's working on these attitudes, thought processes, mind processes, how to battle and resist the devil to where he has to flee from you. Because if you're like me, he's talking all the time. He tells me stuff like, you're good for nothing. You ain't got no reason to be behind no pulpit. How many people have you got in your church that's on fire for the Lord? And you've been doing this thing for 8 years in that church. But you know what? Even if it's just one or two that's on fire for God, that fire is going to spread. That fire is going to, the winds are going to blow, and that fire is going to spread because I'm going to be continually faithful to the calling until God calls me somewhere else. Amen. It hadn't been easy. I've seen faster results in other churches where I've been minister of music, where I've been associate pastor. Up at Faith Community Church right now, associate pastor 12 and a half years there. Planting seeds. The fellow who's pastor there now, he grew up under my teaching. And 2 weeks ago, I looked, and they done grown from 50 people to 250 people. And they trying to find a place to put all the people. And God said this, your faithfulness has grown this church. Even during this difficult times, your faithfulness has done that. Yes. Church where I came from, gone from 50 to 250 and growing. Fellow that's pastor there heard my teachings, my preachings as associate pastor. God is blessed. And you know what? He's able to bless again. I listen to words that come through her. Explosion. It's fixing to be an explosion. An explosion of growth. And you know what's going to do that is faithfulness. Being faithful. When you can't see it with your natural eyes, you can see it with your spiritual eyes. God gives me glimpses of things that's going to take place at Jones Chapel. Hadn't happened yet, but that's not going to waver my faith one bit because I know my God is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond whatever I think and beyond whatever I ask. He's able to do and he wants to do. God wants to send revival more than we want revival. That's where our passion in us comes from. It's from him. It's generated from him. Spending time with him. And as you spend time with him, he gives you the revelation knowledge of what he really wants to do through you. What he really wants to grow through you. And it's exciting. We won't give up, will we? And we're going to stay put. I've done learned you don't get out of the frying pan. You don't jump out of the where the grass is greener on the other side of the pasture. You don't jump out just to escape. Because we would be miserable. God's faithful. He's always faithful. So he doesn't want to us withhold money, our time, our passion for him, because in any of those, we're stealing from him. I know you won't do it. I know you won't do it. This crowd will not do it. And my prayer is, and I'm wrapping up with this, my prayer is, God, expose the fake and make it real. Amen. To those who really never have received Amen. Jesus in their lives.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you for being patient with me.